Sorry. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. Our intimations. There shouldn't be a fire alarm this morning. If there is, we go out through the two doors there, out through the front door and up to the school car park and meet together there. Tea and coffee after the service. It's just time for fellowship, time to be together and chat together, just in the small hall. Next week is Communion Sunday, so there will be, I'm right, it's the first Sunday of the month, so there will be a retiring collection for the work of the church. And there's also going to be a retiring offering this morning to offset the cost of the Faith and Fellowship magazine. That's the trial joint colour edition, which Alan has worked so hard at, and thank you, Alan, for that. The Guild at 1:30 on Tuesday, concert for St Andrew's Day by Lag's Accordion Club in the Church Hall, £4, which includes afternoon tea. A reminder that the Christmas gift service will take place on Sunday the 8th of December. That's 2 weeks. So if you have a small gift to bring in for that service, and that will go to help folks in the area to celebrate Christmas. And a big thank you. The Livingston Church Christmas Fair, thank you for your support. And the total raised so far is £1,327. So a tremendous effort. Well done, everyone that was involved in that. In fact, give yourselves a clap. Starting a new series, just Sunday Night of the Manse, starting from next Sunday evening. And it's just about exploring Scripture, looking at what Scripture says about various things, and we'll maybe even start off in Advent, and it's about seeking God's presence in prayer and just being together and sharing together for a while as well. So it starts about 7 o'clock at the manse. That's a sold-out notice, and a thanks to everyone who's bought tickets for the Livingston Players, and we look forward to I look forward to seeing you. Oh yes, we do. I was thinking there was maybe going to be a wee response there. Thank you. All we need is behind you. Sunday coming, Three Towns Care Home, 3 o'clock, carol service. On Wednesday 4th, 2 o'clock, Thistle Daycare Centre, and Sunday the 8th, 3 o'clock, Bonnie Leslie Court. There will be a few other services to intimate as we go through, starting off in our Advent series. And the Glencairn Primary Christmas Fair, Friday 6th of December, 9:30 to 11. Admission £1, includes refreshments. Handmade crafts, bakery stall, games, tea room, and all are very welcome. Just on, while we're speaking about Glencairn Primary, this year their school service will be in the church on 19th of December. we're going to, at their request, we are going to just use various carols. They wanted a more traditional carol service, so the teachers have chosen the class carols, and I was actually in on Friday afternoon and listening to the primary fours, and as they were they sang me their selection, which was "O Come All Ye Faithful." That should be a really good service on the 19th of December. We will be limited in terms of anyone else coming to listen in, because it will only be the balcony that will be available, for the side transepts are out of use at the moment for were actually people sitting in. So that's where we are. That was all the intimations, apart from one I've collected this morning from our dear. It's just a general invite. The coffee morning on the 7th of December runs from 10 to 1. So looking for bring-a-back home baking without cream or nothing buttered, and a selection of large toys, nothing with small pieces, and there'll be jewellery for sale there. So that's Saturday, December the 7th, 10 o'clock at our dear church hall. Our call to worship, members of the congregation may be saddened to hear of the death of Dorothy Lee. Her funeral is on Monday the 2nd of December at 10:30 at Holmesford Bridge Crematorium. Let's just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, as we pray, we give you thanks for Dorothy. And Lord, we ask that you would comfort family, friends, those who mourn, that they would know your spirit of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And from Hebrews chapter 6, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Amen. In Christ alone, let's worship. Thank you. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. God of grace and glory and heavenly splendor, you reign high above our greatest thoughts, transcending all worldly greatness, enthroned in Almighty. Lord, we can approach you in worship only because of your Son, Christ our King, who came as love for us and won for us peace with our Holy Maker. With reverence we come to worship, asking your Spirit's presence as we praise you, Holy, 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 the eternal chorus rings out. Join us to those who sing your praises, your children from every time and every place, as we seek your goodness in our own lives. Our Father, we confess the times that our words, our thoughts, our actions have not been worthy of your kingdom, where we ought to be guided by love and mercy. We have instead allowed ourselves to succumb to greed and apathy. Where we ought to be guided by hope and faith, we have instead tended towards fear and cynicism. Where we ought to be guided by generosity of spirit, we have instead found our desire for goodness lacking. Forgive us, merciful God. Restore us as those worthy to be called citizens of your kingdom. And by the work of your Spirit, may we take our place in the splendor of your body with Christ as our only head. And Father, we sum up our prayers by using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So this week marks the end of Crossreach Week, and it's a week set aside to remember the work of Crossreach, the social work arm of the church, and part of Social Care Council, which of course amongst all the councils in the New Radical Plan is going to disappear and just change shape. But as we think about Crossreach this morning, 150 years and the work that have been involved, and I know from having been on Social Care Council that very much the focus of the work is doing all that they do in Christ's name, and they view that very much as mission as they set out to help, whether it's younger people, older people, people with disabilities, people with dementia, people with mental health issues, people with drug addictions, alcohol addictions, however they're helping. And of course there's also the counselling service as well. But however they're helping, they do so in Christ's name. And over the years they've been well supported by the church and by the guild, and much of some of the counselling service has come from the work of the Church of Scotland Guild over the years. So it's important that we remember, we mark this occasion, because at this time, 150 years, you'll remember that I normally use in prayer points something from the Crossreach Diary. Got that this morning because I really just want us to focus on Crossreach as we think about and come to our own prayers and to support those who support the services, those who work for the services, those who receive from them. And just very recently, the convener of Social Care Council Bill Steele very unexpectedly died. So as well as they're celebrating 150, they are very much sort of mourning Bill's death, for he was a very hard worker, and he'd brought the council and Crossreach along through a difficult time. And so we remember Crossreach, please remember them in the prayers, the work that they've done, and there's nearly always some way that we can financially contribute as well, should we wish to. And doing that, we just take a wee look on their website. There are people and people who have abseiled off the fourth rail bridge. Any volunteers?
No.
And there's all sorts of things that can be done. But it's, you know, for us, we pray for Crossreach, and we keep them, the staff, those, the service users, and those that benefit from the service, and for those who serve on Social Care Council as well, just to keep them in prayer. But just wanted, as we think about Christ's work, we think about that part of the church as it celebrates 150 years of service. Let's just take a moment in prayer. Father, we do thank you for all those who have been involved in Crossreach over these years, for the services that have developed, for the services that have transformed. And we acknowledge, Lord, that there's been difficult times for Crossreach. There still are in many ways, as they have to realise the whole thing about working in this current age, and having old building stock, and having services which are difficult to maintain. So we pray for them. We give thanks, Lord, for the 150 years of service, and we would pray that you would lead them and you would guide them into the future. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My Jesus, my Saviour, let's rise to worship. and we continue with our offering. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. High King of Heaven, everything that is owes its existence to you. Yet not as tyrant, omnipotent, do you rule over us, but as merciful lover. Father, you raise the humble and you reach to embrace the outcast. Let all the earth sing of your greatness and our hearts be shaped in gratitude to you, our Saviour, our Master, our Friend. We offer our prayers for those beloved to you in need of your sovereign love. Father, we pray for all people around the world in fear of violence, as acts of war and destruction committed in the midst of otherwise peaceful lives. Where terror has a grip, where violence dominates, Lord, we pray, bring justice, bring peace. Father, we pray for those who know the harshness of natural disaster, where lives are lost in unpredictable catastrophe, where drought withers crops, where flood washes away livelihoods, where there's been no bountiful harvest this year. We pray for generosity and provision for all your people. We pray for those who are of poor health. We pray for those known to us, where poor health prevents full living, where pain is a daily reality, where frailty causes bodies to falter. Lord, give healing, give comfort. Give perseverance. Pray for those who mourn. Those who mourn lives that have ended, long lives well lived, and lives which to us have ended far, far too soon. We trust each life to you, saving God, and we trust that each soul finds its home in your eternal love. But for those who mourn, who know any loss, give comfort, give reassurance, give your gentle presence in the lives of us still living. We pray for all those growing, for young people who so often are at the heart of a story of faith, faith that we can overlook. We trust them to your nurturing. And we pray that all those involved in the lives of young people and children will bring them to a flourishing today and tomorrow. We pray for all of these, and we pause in quietness. We offer the prayers of our own hearts, trusting to them to you now in that silence. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the gate, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He says, I am the true vine. And so in Christ our Lord and our heavenly King, the great I Am, we gather our prayers and trust them to you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Let's rise to worship. Turn to dwell in the Word from Revelation chapter 3.
This is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, from the New International Version. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
We'll just take a moment in prayer and just to ask the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to dwell in us and to lead us into these ways and what words it is and what message it is he wants to give each one of us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you and ask your Spirit, just lead us and direct us as we hear that word again. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, after it's read again, we'll see it on the screens, and then we just sit to sing How Deep the Father's Love. Thank you.
To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we turn to you. Ask you now for the sprinkling, the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said, and I pray it'll be very, very clear that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So this is the last of the messages to the seven churches and the main churches in Asia. And we've kind of followed them around the circuit, and we've got to Laodicea. And the message comes from Jesus through visions that John has had. And it's all written in Revelation, the book of Revelation. So not really seven separate letters, but seven messages listed in the book. And we have gone round that whole area. And remember that Jesus was doing various things as he gave these messages. He was commending the churches for the good things that they were doing, for perseverance, for holding out to his name, for resisting the evil one, for not compromising with people around them and with pagan worship. He was commending people who continue to hold on to their faith and their love for God and their love for himself. He was commending those who were not distracted from their relationship with him, and those who hadn't given in to the compromises. But as well as commending them, he was calling them out for their failings. So he was calling people out, calling churches out for the failings, where they maybe thought they were doing something, but they weren't. Or actually, he was just calling them out because they weren't following him and weren't in the right relationship with him. And as he called them out, he was calling them to repentance. So he was actually calling them to a change of mind, and as a change of mind, to turn that 180 degrees so they're back to the world and their focus on Jesus, and that change of mind, calling them to repentance, and he promised them great riches in his name. And one of the things he has said in some of his messages, that there's a danger that he would remove the lampstand from the church, and that's actually, he would remove the church. Without the church in Revelation, in the whole description, the whole vision of things, the lampstands were at the churches, and Jesus would remove the lampstand. So we get round all these churches and we end up with Laodicea. It's a rich city, it has lots of trades, it has lots of stuff that's going on. It's a very wealthy city. And in fact, after an earthquake when they were rebuilding, they were able to decline a grant, it would be, financial support from the Romans in the rebuilding of the city following the earthquake, because they had sufficient resources themselves. But one of the things they did have was a poor water supply. The water coming into the city had to go through lots of stone pipes, had to travel far. And by the time it got to the city, it was lukewarm. It also picked up a whole load of stuff that you wouldn't really want in your water. And so by the time it got there to the city, it was lukewarm, and it was not nice. And so they had to deal with that. And Jesus uses that image, that idea of what's going on in the church and his message. And that's his calling out. I know who you are. I know what you are. You're neither hot nor cold. and neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And actually, it's not about Jesus wanting them to be cold Christians or hot Christians. Actually, it's about the fact that because of their compromising, they were lukewarm. And that they were unacceptable in his sight. And this is what that whole idea of vomiting them out was about. That he was finding them unacceptable. And he was going to vomit them out. Almost like removing the lampstand from them. But the problem was for the church there, they had compromised so much about what was going on around them that actually they didn't look any different from any other group. It would be like, instead of a church worshipping God today, worshipping Jesus, working for Jesus, being missional for Jesus, it would be like a club. People meeting together at a particular time, different place, do particular things. But it's not about worship and it's not about Jesus. And that's where this church has got itself to. And very much can't recognise who they are. Difficult to see whose they are because of what they're doing and how they're doing that. And very much this morning I was thinking, you know, if you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing. And this is where Jesus was. If you don't stand for something, you're standing for nothing. And for him, that's unacceptable. So this is this warning to a church, that he's finding very difficult because of how they are. And in fact, when we take it a stage further, we find out that he's knocking on the door. Knocking at the door. And he says, for anyone who hears me and opens the door, I'll come in, I'll sit with them and I'll eat with them. Surely a great blessing. And we remember through scripture that a lot of what Jesus did was around table fellowship. He would eat with sinners. He would eat with his disciples. A lot of what was going on was around the table. He had breakfast on the beach with them. It was one of the ways he shown he wasn't a ghost and that it was a real resurrection, that he was a body, a person. And then as we go into Acts, we see the whole focus of the early church sharing, breaking bread together, being together. So here Jesus is, he says, I'm knocking at the door. If anyone hears me, I'm going to come in and I'll eat with them. And that's great. But here's Jesus addressing a church. And he has to knock on the door to get their attention. Here's Jesus knocking at the door because he's outside the door of the church. He's not in the church. He's not of the church. And he's chatting at the door. Is that not a damning indictment on any church? He's just not in the church. Just wondered what it would be like if you hear the chapping on the door, you go to the door, and there's Jesus. Just remember a short story by, I think it was Adrian Platts. And there was a church who were told that Jesus was coming to visit. And he was coming next week. And he was going to visit them. And they spent all week tidying the place up, painting it up. They spent all week getting the tables ready to receive Jesus and to have a meal with him. They spent all week deciding who was going to greet Jesus at the door and bring him in. They decided all these things and they worked it all out and they worked for a week. to get their church ready for Jesus to appear. And at the given time, they're inside the tables groaning with food. The place is smelling of paint. It's all been done up and everything's clean, spick and span, absolutely right. And the hour passes and there's no Jesus. And more time comes along and there's no Jesus. Is he late? Has he forgotten? Somebody goes outside, opens the door of the church and looks out, and they see across the road in the local pub a lot of nonsense, a lot of noise, a lot of things going on. And as somebody goes across and opens the door of the pub and they look in and hears Jesus. Here's Jesus. He's in amongst the folk in the pub. And you know, there's something about, we have to be so careful that we don't alienate ourselves from him and from his world. We don't want to be in the position where he's outside knocking on the door with his great promise. It's a great promise that he'll come in and eat with anyone who answers him, who answers the door, who opens the door to him. It's a great promise. We don't want to be in that position. We don't have Jesus outside. And that's why for me, so much of what we need to do and how we need to be is to focus first of all on our relationship with God the Father through the Saviour and in the power of the Holy Spirit. I spoke before many times about the triangle and thinking about that triangle and about the up, our relationship with the Father. And it's not just about having that relationship, but actually it's about being passionate about that relationship. It's about actually expecting and seeking his presence, seeking the Holy Spirit in our lives, expecting God to do things and say things to us through the Son. That's that up relationship, that passionate spirituality. And you know, the other bit about that is as we come down the triangle and look at one side, one point about the in, our relationship with each other. And you know, the challenge for us is to think about how that relationship with each other is actually being affected by this plan of union with our brothers and sisters down the road. What does that union then start to, how does that radical community, because this is what we've been talking about, buildings of radical community. A community that doesn't look like anything else in this world. Because we have to be countercultural. If we're not standing for Jesus, we have no hope. We have nothing. And so our in-community, our in-shape, how we care for each other and how we are with each other is vital in all that. And that leads us, our passionate spirituality, our passion for speaking to our seeking God and dealing with each other in a different way in his name, leads to this missional zeal where we start to look outside. And look outside and see what's going on outside and how we can take Christ the Saviour to people. How we can share his love with others. That's what we're called to do. Danger is that we become so comfortable within that we don't realise we've locked Jesus outside. It's a danger to that church. In fact, it was quite clear that Jesus was outside, knocking on the door. And he told them, you know, to repent, buy gold from me. He said, be refined, buy gold. Wear the white clothes of repentance. Get what you need from me. This was in a city that produced clothing, produced fabric, produced wool. And he's saying, get this from me. Focus on me. So as we look to our future and what it means, and I've mentioned earlier about the Radical Action Plan, what that means for the church nationally. Things are moving on, and already there's press releases out about how they've already merged councils of the church. And they're going to start on the 1st of January 2020. The church is taking this Radical Action Plan seriously. And while we might all sit where we thought, the back of our heads saying, we've seen this before, and we've been in this sort of situation before, actually, this time, it seems that the church is doing something about it. And we, as church in this place, need to focus on what our calling is from the Father and how he wants us to be. We can't afford to have Jesus outside knocking on the door. Our relationship with him is all important and must be our focus. The proclamation that we make when we become a member of the church is that Jesus is Lord. And that's what we must remember, and that's how we must be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray just that your Spirit would enable us, that your Spirit would just keep us focusing on you, that we would know you as Lord and Saviour and King and Prophet and Priest. Lord Jesus, enable us to share with you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Mine eyes have seen the glory. Let's rise to worship. Thank you. you would be with us as we leave this place, that you would lead us into all the places that you would have us be, and you would enable us to meet the people you want us to meet, to share the words and the love that you have for each one. May all that we do be to your glory, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our door.